And welcome to this week's episode of Grounded with Brandon and Craig on this soggy Monday morning. My name is Craig.
And I would be Brandon.
Yes,
and,
you would.
Today
we are talking, we're going to recap our Christmas service from yesterday.
Exactly. And we had a great Christmas Eve service on Friday. And then Sunday we had a great Christmas service. And wait a minute. What's going on here?
April Fools.
April Fools.
Exactly. I'm actually Brandon.
And I'm actually Craig. You're the host.
I am the host. And with the most.
Exactly.
And, wait, does that mean you're the most?
It's exactly what that means. So yesterday, we're standing.
Wow, you just dropped your phone.
Yes.
Good job, Jordan.
Yeah, yesterday we were standing in your office. And Sue Federer came in for her third shot of espresso. And I think it was one.
Mine.
Yeah, I think
it was. That's
one.
All she needs.
Yeah. And she told us a joke.
She did.
So I'm going to let you roll with it.
How many rednecks does it take to eat a possum?
Tell me.
Two. One to eat the possum and one to look for cars.
Nice. I like
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, Sue.
Yeah, that was.
Was she calling us rednecks?
I think she was.
I think she was too.
And am I the one watching or eating? I'm just asking.
I'll watch. You can eat. That's all you, man.
Hey, wait a second. Here comes a dump truck.
My taste is a little more refined than possum.
Dude, not much, because you like your meat raw. Like, so you would do right well with the roadkill.
I don't like my meat raw.
I like mine medium well. You like yours medium rare. You like yours where it's like, it barely is like it just got out of the field. Like, come on, you know I'm right about this.
Not true.
Dude, I'm telling you, you could go out into a field, take a slice, and be like, you know what? Pretty good.
Still I mean, warm. If it's the right cut of meat, yeah.
Oh, my word. So, roadkill for you, bro.
Okay.
Yeah. So, it is rainy. I mean, last night, about midnight, did you hear the storm roll through?
It was brutal. Thankfully, Jasper got up once to go to the bathroom. And it was at 11:30. So it had not started raining yet. So took him out, whatnot, came back in. But yeah, then the next time I woke up, it was, cause see, Allie and I, our bedroom's on the back of the house, and we kind of redid that a few years ago, and we've got a tin roof on it.
Yeah.
Love that in the rain.
But so it's like sleeping in a camper.
It is. Yeah. It's very nice. But yeah, it was just dumping. And then the next 2 days are not looking good either.
No, and as I drove to church this morning, it was wonderful driving through the Great Lakes of Ohio again. My goodness, the water is crazy.
So I saw a dolphin out in the field. Actually, on the way to the school, dropped the kids off. We were coming in toward Richwood, and right before you get to Richwood, I looked out and there's three deer like standing, looking back toward the road, and there's this big section of water there in front of them. Like, I just think they were confused. Like, do we go around this lake?
Exactly.
Do we go through it?
Do we go through it?
How deep is it?
Yeah. I know, man. Cause I couldn't believe how like the rivers and all those are up. I mean, there was like, oh
yeah.
So yeah, I hear we're supposed to get a little bit more.
Mm-mm. A lot more.
A lot more.
Yeah. It's going to be nasty.
And then I heard for joy, there could be a possibility on Thursday of snow. So I'm really looking forward to that you know my love for snow and cold weather, because I can't wait, because you know, if I can get one more day of snow and cold weather, tell me how good that is.
Oh, it's
April Fool, bro.
April Fool's on that one. Yeah. Yeah. No, they're actually saying like tomorrow, like there's a chance of like today and tomorrow maybe is what I heard. And then tomorrow, like a chance of hail and possibly even the T words again. Tornadoes.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah. Well, Thursday. So it's high of 42.
Well, that's better than what it was when I checked it earlier. So,
but a chance of rain and snow is what it's saying. 47% chance.
But
and Friday now too, chance of rain and snow.
But like I saw, what, Sunday or Monday next week, they're calling for 60s or something. Hopefully.
Monday 63, Tuesday 69. Wednesday 70.
Whoa, there we go.
So 63 Monday. Now it's kind of partly cloudy. That's the day of the eclipse.
63 Monday, but we're going to have 9 million cars in Union County because of the eclipse, right? That's what I heard.
I think 9.5 million. But,
yeah, it's going to be, they're all going to be sitting right here on Sibby Road trying to see the great eclipse. Now tell me, the eclipse is supposed to be, we're supposed to go dark for like 6 minutes.
No, it's not. Well, I mean, it's going to be pretty dark probably for that.
Like, it's not going to be like dark like night, or is it?
It will be for a bit, I think. It will be. I just saw somebody posted, like, Marion County, like, the total eclipse runtime is going to be like 3 minutes and something. And Marysville, or not Marion County, but Marion, but Marysville is going to be like 2 minutes and something, like pushing 3 minutes.
So what about like right here?
Right here will probably be over 3 minutes.
So what's the big, I mean, you're going to, do they know what time that's going to be or?
Yeah. It's like three something in the afternoon.
Oh.
I can't remember exactly. You going to come watch it with me? Maybe I should go for a run. That'd be fun.
Well, if everybody stopped, maybe they're not going to be moving, but it's going to be like a ball game after that is over. Am I right? There are people going to be trying to get out of here. Yeah. So like we're
going
to be jam-packed.
I'm not going to Marysville. You mentioned that yesterday in your sermon. I like looked at my,
when I was like talking about surrendering it to God.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm not driving to Marion or Marysville, whatever.
Exactly. So yeah. So yeah, I mean, when was the last time the eclipse was? I mean, do you remember? Or?
Oh man, there was a total eclipse when I was about Christian's age, I think. So that would have been like 95, 96, somewhere in there, I think.
Oh wow. So that's,
I was in grade school still.
So we're talking like 28 years or something.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah. Does it only come through every 28 years or 30?
No, I'm not sure. It just, so it's different regions. So it hit there in Virginia where it probably wasn't a total eclipse here. There was probably a partial eclipse here, but not
total
a total
eclipse.
Eclipse.
That's a song, isn't it?
Total eclipse of the heart. Yeah. Actually, the playtime of that song is going to be really close to the playtime of the total eclipse. So if you play it during the eclipse, like double bonus.
You know what? Do it.
I think I might. I love that song.
Who sings that? Who sings that?
Oh, that is. No.
That's not Heart, is it?
I think it is Heart.
Okay.
Every now and then I fall apart. And I need you more tonight. Let's see here.
I'm just going to let him go.
I need you more than ever.
It beats that rooster.
Right? Robin Hood and Little John Walker.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so total eclipse of the heart, why the eclipse rolls in. And while you're looking up who sings that song, we're actually drinking coffee.
Oh, that's
today.
Bonnie Tyler.
Oh,
it is Bonnie
really?
Tyler.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What does she sing too? Does she sing Betty Davis Eyes or something like that?
Not
or
sure.
This is way before your time. I don't even think you were born yet when that was done.
Let's see. Does it say what year?
I mean, we're rolling the clock back a little.
Oh,
bit.
Oh, that was
what? Long time ago, like 1983. Okay, so yeah.
Recorded in 82, released in 83.
Total Eclipse of the Heart?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was something that was rolling when I was in high school. So, yeah. It seems like this is what it seems. So, not too long ago, 41 years ago.
Right?
So, we're drinking coffee and we're drinking Hemisphere, correct?
This is Hemisphere. It is the Hunter's Blend. Yeah.
The Hunter's Blend, and it's really good. And again, you made the shot of espresso this morning. It was from the, what's the name of that thing again? Wake up call?
Waken the Neighbors. Black Rifle Coffee.
And it's really good. It's super, super good. Is that what you gave Sue yesterday?
It is.
Yeah. Did she like it?
She did. She was like, oh, this is good.
It's
smooth.
It's addictive.
It is smooth, but it is strong. Cause if you notice on the bag, it says, extra caffeine.
Exactly. So that's why I'm hopped up till 5 in the evening. Well.
Is that what it is?
Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe.
So what if we did 2 shots?
Oh, my.
You drank yours straight this morning. I put mine in my coffee.
I did. That's the way to start your morning.
Yeah, exactly.
Just drink it straight.
So hope you guys had a great Easter yesterday. We had a great, I think we had a great weekend.
It was good.
We had a great worship time
real
on Friday night.
Friday. Yeah. They sang really well.
Led to communion and really good evening. Just perfect to get us focused on what we're supposed to focus on. And then yesterday we had a good crowd and a lot of kids were here.
Sang again well. And
everybody sang well. And
even paid attention to you.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Some. A little bit.
Yeah, we had a ton of kids second service, like what, 70?
Yeah. Crazy.
Bless their hearts over there. In
they just opened up a brand new room for the kids. And they just repainted it, got it all together, got all the tables set up
just
last
in
week
time
to have 19 preschoolers in that room. Woo. I'm like, holy cow. Holy cow. So yeah, it was, I heard it was rocking and rolling over there yesterday. So.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. So
I am sure
that was really good. And then, Easter evening.
Yes, sir.
I went over to spend time with your family.
That's right.
And we had prime rib and baked potatoes, and we had salad and corn and green beans and deviled eggs and
don't
olives
forget the Hawaiian
pickles and Hawaiian rolls. And we had
mac and cheese,
and there was desserts and
euchre.
Ugh.
Well, you didn't play euchre, but
no, I don't do that.
My brother-in-law beat my wife and your wife pretty badly.
Really?
But
how did Anita play?
She played fine. I had a loner in one hand, so that helps.
Oh, well, see,
you have no idea what I'm talking about.
I mean, I do. I haven't played euchre like in 10 years because I just don't like it, but.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was good. It was a good evening.
My wife said it was no fun.
No, you're plenty of fun, but yeah. No, the food was good. We decided to go against your traditional, you know, ham and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And we went prime rib.
That was really good.
It was good.
The slice I had was really good. How many did you have? Three?
I had one.
Did you have leftovers?
Yes.
So where's the steak and eggs? Cause he tempted me with steak and eggs last night. I was already, he got here late. So coffee came in late, and I thought, okay, he's getting the steak and eggs ready, and he walked in with nothing
no,
in his hand.
No steak and eggs. No, that's...
It was really good, though. Thank you for the invite.
You're welcome. Yes. Yeah, it was good. I'm having the steak for leftovers tonight.
Good for you.
I'll tell you who else liked that steak. The dog. We gave him one because it was a bone in, and so, you know, the bones, you cut the bones off the bottom and whatnot, and so it was pretty much like a rib.
Right.
A beef rib.
It
section.
Looked like it, didn't it?
And I actually sliced some off and had it. It was really good. But yeah, gave him a bone.
Yeah.
He like just cleaned that thing. And then he was protecting the bone. Like he was guarding that bone with his life.
Yeah, right. Oh my goodness. So that was good. We had a good time and beautiful evening last night.
Oh, it was awesome.
My goodness, that was a gorgeous evening.
Yeah, the killdeer birds were going crazy.
Yeah, they were.
I don't know what they were doing, but
it was a beautiful evening out there.
Yeah, it was nice.
So thanks to your mother-in-law for letting us all come over, and
it was good.
Yeah, we had a good time.
Thanks, Grammy. That's what the kids call her.
Yeah. So we ended up a sermon series, a quick one, 3 weeks. I mean, wow, 3 weeks was because like the one before that was 10,
right?
You know, and then this one was 10. The one before that, we had like the 10 Commandments, and then what was the one before this one?
I can't remember. Christmas.
No, the one. Oh, it was the we started in January and went to up to a few weeks ago. That was 10 weeks, and then this one was short for three. So,
right.
So yeah, we're starting a new series Sunday called Run the Race, and going to be nice to Brandon's going to dress in his Richard Simmons shorts and his pink tank top, and he's going to have his multicolored headband.
My headbands.
He's ready. He's going to jog as
socks.
He sings, and
yeah, I'm going to jog in place while I sing.
That's going to be really good.
Hey, at least I'll get steps.
You might.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just look at you and shake my head. I'm like, what is going on with
this? It was kind of neat. Like, we didn't really plan it, but like Allison and I were talking with the graphic that we have for it. It's a guy down in the starting blocks on a track. And, you know, you've got track season coming up. Olympics are going to be coming up, so there'll be track for the Olympics and all of that stuff.
Right.
So, like, it's just perfect timing. We didn't even plan it that way. I mean, yeah, we did. Sure we did.
Yeah, we did, yeah. It always works out that way.
Right.
That's so
the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. So this is going to be 5 weeks. And so looking forward to that. And then we're doing one series coming up after that. We're going to coincide with the children's department, and they're doing 4 weeks on the miracles of Jesus, and so we're going to do the miracles of Jesus following that one, and so I'm looking forward to that. But we wrapped up God with us, Jesus, on Sunday, and thought things went really well, and this is the story just of how God really works in us through Jesus Christ is amazing. Mm-hmm. So but I thought it was good yesterday. I thought we had a good day.
Yeah.
Just good spirit, good people, good to be with the people and worship. So
yeah, very good. Good to have my family up. They came up. Mom and Dad came up Thursday night, and then my sister and brother-in-law and their three boys came up Friday morning. Got here Friday afternoon. We all met for Mexican for Friday afternoon.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, you don't like Mexican, but that's okay. You are no fun. Lanita's right.
No fun.
No fun. But anyway, so it was good to have them up here, and Dad and Nicole sang with me Good Friday.
That was good.
That was always good,
too. That was really good.
They made it home safely last night, so I'm sure it was good to be up here, but it's always good to be home, too.
Always good to go home, but yeah. Yeah, I heard good things about Friday night. A lot of people compliment you guys and for the leading, doing a good job, so that was good. Probably fun to sing with your family. You don't get to do that very often.
It is. No, it's very nice. We don't get to do that often at all, so yeah.
Your dad kind of sound like Alan Jackson a little bit up there.
On a hill far away. Yeah. I like Alan Jackson. You all right? I will say.
I'm just watching you today. This really is a good April 1st.
Alan Jackson. He's got some nice custom-made Taylor guitars.
Does he?
Oh, yeah.
He also has those really nice custom-tailored jackets that he wears, too, that I like.
I didn't mean custom-tailored guitars. Taylor is in the brand Taylor.
Well, I meant tailored.
Okay.
Yeah, because those are tailored to him, right?
Yes,
I mean, he's just not going to Walmart and putting them off the rack. I mean, he's like, I mean, these things are tailored to him. So, yeah, his jackets are really cool. And plus, he wears his really nice hats. He's like Rick Clark with those hats.
He does, like, yeah.
Rick Clark looked like Clint Black the other day when he wore it with his black hat. Yeah,
I come in, all I could hear was Killing Time.
Right.
What else did he sing? Nothing but the taillights. Yeah.
Goodness. So yeah, we had we ended our series yesterday, and we talked. We landed in John chapter, like the ending of John 19, and then John 20, and a little bit of 21, and took a little bit different spin on the Easter story. I mean, it's the same thing, but kind of went through that whole thing. So we started off with John 19 verses 38 through 42, and it says Joseph of Arimathea, who'd been a secret disciple of Jesus. Now, this is something that I just didn't even talk about yesterday,
right? Because you could go into
so many avenues. I mean, we could do an entire sermon series or an entire sermon on Joseph of Arimathea, who had been a secret disciple of Jesus. Boom. That could be a whole sermon, correct? Because he feared the Jewish leaders.
Right.
Asked Pilate for permission to take down Jesus' body. When Pilate gave permission, Joseph came and took the body away. With him came Nicodemus. This verse is piled high with so many things that I just didn't even talk about. So you have Joseph of Arimathea, who is a secret disciple of Jesus. Do we know much about him?
No.
I mean, is this all we know about him? I mean, is there any other? I
don't think there's anything
else. I mean, I've heard people talk about him and what that means. But then we have Nicodemus, and would you term Nicodemus kind of a secret disciple of Jesus?
I would, because, I mean, if you look and see what Nicodemus brought to the table here with all of the herbs and spices for burial.
Yeah.
You know, and so you kind of look back at last week, you talked about Nicodemus and Jesus' conversation with Nicodemus. And, obviously, after that conversation, something happened in that conversation where right. Nicodemus, like, it clicked.
Exactly.
Because I believe he would have been a secret follower of Jesus as well, with him coming with Joseph of Arimathea.
And he came at night to Jesus, and he was a Pharisee, so he didn't want that. And so it says he brought about 75 pounds of perfumed ointment made of myrrh and aloes. 75 pounds is quite a bit, to be honest with you. Following the Jewish burial custom, they wrapped Jesus' body with the spices and long sheets of linen cloth, and the place of the crucifixion was near a garden where there was a new tomb never used before. And so because it was the day of preparation for the Jewish Passover, and since the tomb was close at hand, they laid Jesus there. And I love that, just that the account of John, because John is so detailed, I think, when it comes to telling anything about Jesus.
And, right.
I think John is one of the best books. If you really want to know who Jesus is, this is the book.
Right.
I mean, they're all good.
Yeah.
But this is really over the top.
I like Luke too. You know, Luke being a doctor, he had some different details too. He was very detail oriented.
He was.
Just in a different way.
A different way. Yes. It's like if you read Luke and then you read John together, it's almost like they're filling in the blanks. Does that make
puzzle,
sense? It's
right.
Like, oh, yeah. That could go like boom, boom, boom. Yeah.
Right.
So it's, yeah. So you have the first Easter Sunday. You got Mary Magdalene. She's heading to the tomb. And I love that John points out that it's still dark and she's mm-hmm. heading to the tomb. And this is the first time they're going to be able to prepare the body of Jesus. And, so, you know, she gets there and the stone's been rolled away.
Stone's rolled away.
So you have to think, what's going on here? I mean, does she think that he's resurrected? Does she think he's the body's been stolen? And because you have to realize that when you lose somebody that you love, and Mary watched Jesus not just die, but I termed it yesterday that she, in her mind, she saw him brutally murdered. And
absolutely.
He was. Yep. That was brutal. And, I mean, if you've ever seen The Passion of the Christ,
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking, this is probably the way it looks.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I think they did a very good job with that.
Exactly. So she pinned all of her hopes on Jesus. So in John chapter 20, verses 3 through 8, this is also good too. It says, Peter and the other disciples started out for the tomb, and they both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And they stooped and they looked in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter went inside, and he also noticed the linen wrappings lying there. Wrappings. Yeah. That's a redneck right there.
That is a redneck. Been eating possum.
Right. While the cloth that had covered Jesus' head was folded up and lying apart from the other wrappings. Okay, so what's that about right there? This is separated. This has been folded.
Mm-hmm.
Any opinion on that? I mean, I've heard opinions, but.
I have.
But it's, it seems like there's a semblance, some kind of symbolism there, mm-hmm. but I can't put my finger on it.
Right.
Then the disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and he believed. And I love that. And I'm thinking that he's believing in the resurrection.
Resurrection, yeah.
And so it doesn't, I mean, Peter and John, they return to where they were staying, and they leave Mary standing there. And I love this account in John 20 with when Mary...
Can we talk first before we get into that account?
You do whatever you want.
I love John. You know, there are some Bible scholars that believe that John, the disciple, did not write this book. Most, however, do.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's the case, it's like Peter and the other disciple, he's talking about himself. Like, why didn't he just say, me and Peter? You know, then you're getting into the wrappings, so it's all the same. But anyways, started out for the tomb. They were both running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He's like, ha, I won.
Exactly. And I think he's trying to be somewhat humble here.
Right.
Because
right.
It's just like, I'm better than Peter at the running game.
Right.
So it'd be like if you and I were running to the tomb, I would probably beat you, just to say.
Yeah. And April Fools.
And we would go in and we'd find the wrappings.
Wrappings.
April. Right. Yeah. I wasn't joking. Okay, you know what?
As soon as we're done, we will race.
No, not today because it's rainy and I don't. Oh, yeah. But I need a good day, 60 degrees. I guarantee you, 100-yard dash, bam. You're toast. Look at me.
I'm just licking my lips like, let's go. You name the place. You name the time.
Well, then it would be like Craig and the other disciple, beat him. That
exactly.
would be you. Okay.
I'll say, I've got a weighted vest I'll even put on and race you.
Okay. I'll tell you what. I'll even wear my cowboy boots. How about that?
Oh, here we go.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. John 20. You ready?
Anyways, yes, I'm ready now. Sorry. I just
you
thought
read
that
or
was
you
funny.
Want me to?
I will.
Okay.
So this is talking about Mary. It says she saw two white-robed angels, one sitting at the head of the and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. Dear woman, why are you crying? The angels asked her. Because they have taken away my Lord, she replied, and I don't know where they have put him. She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. Dear woman, why are you crying? Jesus asked her. Who are you looking for? She thought he was the gardener. Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him. Mary, Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, which is Hebrew for teacher.
And so this is really cool because this is really the first time anybody has seen Jesus since the resurrection. And I asked yesterday, do you remember what Mary tries to do?
She tries to hug him.
She tries to
which
hug.
Which is going
to
be your natural
exactly.
response.
So like, I mean, like if something happened and somebody you saw die, And all of a sudden they're no longer dead and they're standing in front. You're going to go in for a hug, I mm-hmm. guess. Right.
Right. And John, go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
So Jesus responds there when she goes to hug him, verse 17. Don't cling to me, Jesus said, for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, I have seen the Lord. And then she gave them his message.
It's really good because you have to remember during this time and during this weekend, the disciples are a mess. They're a little freaked out. I mean, they're afraid. And I mean, you got to realize that, you know, Judas has betrayed Jesus. Mm-hmm.
He's dead.
He's killed himself. Yep. Thomas is gone AWOL. They have no idea where he is. They're trying to figure out what's going on. They're behind closed doors, and I bet there's a ton of questions.
Not just closed doors, but locked doors.
Exactly. Can you see them going back and forth of kind of the scenarios, what's going on? I mean, they're trying to get over Judas. I'm sure they're sorry about Judas, but I'm sure they're angry for what he's done. They're like
trying to figure out what's next for them.
Yeah, what's going on with yesterday? I was like, and then we have Mary. God bless her heart. She said she's seen Jesus. She's a little crazy right now. So I think there's a lot going on for these guys. And then all of a sudden, boom, Jesus shows up. In John 20 verses 19 and through 21, he says, peace be with you. And as he spoke, he showed the wounds in his hands and in his side. And they were filled with joy as they saw the Lord. Again, he said, peace be with you. And this is a verse, I love this part of the verse. Mm-hmm. As the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. I think Jesus is reminding them, hey, you've got a job to do still. You need to keep on track and keep doing what you've been called to do. And then the disciples find Thomas, and they tell him what's going on. And Thomas doesn't believe.
Right.
You know the story. You hear doubting Thomas. Thomas says in John 20, verse 25, I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands, put my fingers into them, and place my hand into the wound in his side. And then, I can't remember, is it like 7 or 8 days later, they're together again, and Jesus walks in, and he's like, peace. And he looks straight at Thomas, and he says in John 20, verses 27 through 29, put your finger here, and look at my hands, and put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. I love this part. Believe. My Lord and my God, he says. And then Jesus told him, you believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me.
Yeah,
that's huge.
And there's so much comfort that I find in that verse right there, verse 29.
Yeah.
Because Jesus is talking about us. He's talking about you. He's talking about me.
Exactly.
We've never seen him.
Nope.
We have the Bible, and we believe because of what the Bible says, and we believe that the Bible from cover to cover is God's infallible word. But we've never seen him.
Exactly.
And so he looks at Thomas, and he's like, hey, you didn't believe until you saw me. Blessed though, because you do believe.
Exactly.
Even more blessed are the people for generations to come that are going to believe in me who haven't seen me.
There's a sermon right there too, bro.
It is.
That whole thing because of just believing in Jesus and trusting in him.
Right.
And you would think that Thomas would have done that, but you know, I'm not going to go down that road right now because I'm not going to bash him or anything
because
I don't know where he was at that time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And here's the thing that we have to understand. You know, Jesus is so intentional, you know, and you mentioned this a couple of times, but what are the first words out of his mouth every time that he comes to them? Peace.
Exactly.
Peace be with you.
Exactly.
Why? Because they had no peace at all. Their world had just been turned upside down. And so for you and I and everybody else listening, when our world is turned upside down, our natural reaction is to have unrest. It is the farthest thing from peace. And so that's where we have to lean into God, lean into God's word, spend time in prayer, and find peace that can only come from him.
Well, that's a good point because you're right. He does come to them every time and says, peace. And, you know, think about the world. Think about even the Christian community. We talk a lot about peace. Am I right?
Exactly.
People talk about peace, but nobody has peace.
Right.
So we think we know what it is.
Yeah.
And I don't really think we know what it is until you experience the peace of Jesus Christ in your life. Am I right?
Exactly.
Because you can talk about it all you want, but until you have the peace, what's he saying? In this world, you're going to have, you know, trouble. Take heart because I've overcome the world. So he's got all these things that he's trying to lead you and I always to him.
Exactly.
And to what we need to do to find the peace that we need.
So. Right. Well, and that's what Dallas Willard was talking about in the quote you gave. He said, let's remember that Jesus didn't leave Thomas to suffer without the blessing of faith and confidence. You know, and I think that's so, such a great point. Jesus doesn't leave us where he finds us.
No,
he not wants at all. To lead us to exactly. where we need to be in him. He exactly. says, Dallas Willard goes on, he says, he gave him the evidence he required. That is typical of Jesus' approach to doubt. He responded to honest doubters in the way he knew best, the way that would help, and that's cut off for me. So I'm sorry. If you can pull that.
It's typical of Jesus' approach to doubt. He responded to honest doubters in a way that he knew best, the way that he would help them move from doubt to knowledge.
There you go.
And I think that's good. And I agree with that. I love Dallas Willard. Mm-hmm. Sometimes he's so plain, and sometimes you're like, he's like John Piper. You're like,
right.
What did he just
don't
say?
Understand it.
Exactly.
That was very, that's very good though. That's
it
very
is.
Simple.
It's very good. And then if you run the clock down just, you know, a little bit later on in John 21. Okay. So can I set this up for a second? Peter in John 21 verse 3 says, Peter says, I'm going fishing. And the rest of the disciples who were with him says, we'll come too. So I'm going to stop here for a minute. What was Peter before he went with Jesus? He was what? A fisherman, correct? He was a guy that was out in the water. He was a guy that did all these things. So Peter's like, I'm going fishing. We'll come too, they said. So they went out and then to the boat and they caught nothing all night. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but the disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, fellows, have you caught any fish? No, they replied. And then he said, throw out your net on the right hand side of the boat and you'll get some. And so they did. And they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, and we know he's talking about, right? John? Mm-hmm. It is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water, and headed to the shore. The others stayed in the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only 100 yards from the shore. And when they got there, they found breakfast waiting on them, fish cooking over a charcoal fire, and some bread.
Mm.
How about that? How about that? And then I love that John goes on to say that they caught exactly 153 fish. So that tells you a little bit something about fishermen's stories, right?
Right. I turned to my dad when you said that, and his response was, hey, I've got proof. I take pictures. He takes pictures of all of his fish. He's got a selfie stick where he's like.
Exactly. So here's the thing you have to remember about this, of what's going on here. You have to remember that, before Jesus was crucified, Peter has denied Jesus 3 times.
Yes.
And is it me, or do you read that each time that he denies it, it gets a little bit more emphatic?
It does.
It gets a little bit more vocal.
Yeah.
About that.
Like he was, that's something else I feel like the Passion did a really good job of depicting. Like Peter's kind of on the outskirts of what's going on. He's kind of in the fringes, in the dark. He's maybe got a hood up or something, trying to just keep hidden. And people notice him. They're like, hey, weren't you one that was with him? Weren't you a follower of Jesus?
Right.
Weren't you a whatever? And the first time he just kind of brushes it off. It's like, well, no, I don't know him. The second time it's like he's getting irritated. And then the third time, there are some translations that say he cursed pretty much.
Right.
And
like he's very emphatic about
very
it.
Emphatic.
Very emphatic.
Like,
about
no,
it.
I do not know him.
But if you, if you ever had an unresolved conflict with somebody, you know what that's like. If you're thrown in a room with them, if you're thrown at a dinner table with them, it's just awkward because you've got this huge elephant in the room. And I believe
we're on
that's
the beach.
Exactly. And I think that's what's going on with Peter, with Jesus, not Jesus with Peter. Jesus is going to lead Peter to where he needs to be.
Exactly.
But Peter has this elephant in the room that he realizes this is what he has done.
Jesus knows what I've done. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's tense. And so I mentioned this yesterday. I don't have a picture of him, so that's why I didn't put his picture up there. But my gospels professor in college, his name is Sherwood Smith, and he said, I assume at this point Jesus might have looked at Peter, patted him on the shoulder, and said, walk with me. Let's go for a walk and talk.
Right.
And that actually seems like something Jesus would do, doesn't it, with Peter? And so the conversation that takes place with Peter and Jesus begins something like this in John 21, verse 15. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?
Mm-hmm.
And I like that. And yesterday I stopped right there. I broke the verse up because I said a lot has been written about, do you love me more than these? And a lot of Bible scholars, and this is what I believe too, is referring to his old way of life.
Right.
Fishing
and
yeah. boating. And so when we read this verse at the beginning where Peter's like, I'm going fishing. I see that differently because now that, you know, you read it like, do you love me more than these? Because it's almost like Peter's like, you know what? I'm not doing this. I'm going fishing. And they're like, well, we'll come with you. You know, Peter's like, I'm going back to my way of life, or
right,
I'm going to go back
right.
and do this. So
I'm going back to what I know.
Exactly. And so in John 21 verse 15, he says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And then Jesus says, then feed my lambs. John 21 verses 16 and 17, Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, Peter said, you know that I love you. Then take care of my sheep. Jesus said, and a third time he asked him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And this is the one that I think really stands out. Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. And he said, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus says, then feed my sheep.
Mm-hmm.
And this was my turn take on this. And this is what I said yesterday, is that the last time that that Peter denied Jesus, it was the final one, but it was also
he remembers,
the one where
yeah.
he swore down and swore or pulled down with an oath, I do not know him.
Mm-hmm.
And so Peter was hurt that Jesus asked a third time. He realized what Jesus is doing
yeah.
and what is taking place. And there was a reason why mm-hmm. Jesus did that. It wasn't to make Peter feel like
not at all
like guilty or shameful. It's to bring out what Peter, what Christ wants to bring out in him.
And Jesus knows the answer to that question.
Oh, 100%.
Jesus knows that Peter loves him.
Exactly.
Jesus knows that Peter had a moment of earthliness, of flesh, where he denied him.
Right.
And there are Bible scholars that don't think that there's a correlation between Peter denying Jesus three times and Jesus asking that question three times. I agree with you. I believe that Jesus was very intentional in that.
That's not a coincidence.
Not a coincidence at all. And I think the intentional part of that is Jesus is saying, you know, do you love me? Do you
right,
love me?
Right.
Do you love me? And then at the end of taking him saying, okay, yes, you denied me three times, but I absolutely know that you love me now. You've got a job to do. So we're going to put that behind us. I've forgiven you. Let's move forward.
Let me ask you this question. This is out of the clear blue here, okay? While Peter was denying Jesus,
mm-hmm.
did Peter still love Jesus?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Peter was overtaken. I've not been in that situation with Peter where the world was coming down around me.
Right.
And, well, you have a little bit. But where the world's coming down around me, where your life is at stake.
Right.
And there's a chance that your life is going to end just like that. And Peter is very much like, boom, I'm going to fight for you, Jesus. But yet, when it came down to it, he was under this extreme pressure and saw what was going on. I don't know what was going on that night. And that's one of the things I'd love to see and talk about with Jesus and Peter
right.
someday, not to make him feel bad, but to actually what happened that mm-hmm. night. Cause there's no doubt in my mind that Peter absolutely adores Jesus Christ.
Right.
You can read the Gospels. You can see how he interacts with him. You know it. You can see it. And, Peter's a little high strung. But that's perfect because mm-hmm. he was high strung for a reason. And, so when these two are talking and do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? You're right. Jesus does know the answer to that question.
Right.
He knows his heart.
Right.
He knows it. So when you make a mistake
mm-hmm.
or I make a mistake, it's like the world might look at me or look at you when we make our mistakes and judge me and say, well, you're not a Christian. You're not the
right.
person who you say are.
Right.
But I call, I'm going to call, you know, the thing where it's like, there's not a person on this planet that doesn't make a mistake
mm-hmm.
where you don't talk out of turn, where you don't say something you shouldn't said, mm-hmm. that you don't do something you shouldn't have done,
right.
that you don't go back to an addiction that you had.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not giving you or me or you a free pass.
Exactly.
I'm just saying that God knows our hearts, and that's the beauty of what the resurrection of Jesus Christ is,
right.
and the beauty of God loving us, that he knew us why we were sinners, that Christ died for us, because guess what? I am a sinner. God's yeah. grace covers my sin, and it's like we read a few weeks ago, it doesn't cover my can send where I can keep saying, I'm going to keep doing this over and over because I got the grace of God.
Right.
No, it covers like Peter. He made a mistake. He sinned. That's the grace of Jesus Christ. That's the beauty of, do you love me? I know your heart.
Right.
And Peter's not living there.
Right.
Peter's not living in that denial.
Mm-hmm.
I guarantee you, the next morning he feels terrible. He's the guilt that is going on with this guy.
Yep.
But even though he has this guilt, even though he went through this, he was the first one to jump out of the boat to swim to shore to see Jesus.
Exactly.
Even though he knew that there was this unresolved conflict in his life. Think about that.
Yep.
That's how much he loved. So Jesus knows that he loves you.
Exactly.
He knows that he loves
you. Well, and I love that point too. And you know, for people on the outside looking in, you know, when a Christian, you know, sins, does something that they shouldn't do, and they're like, oh, see, you're not the person that you say you are.
Right.
Well, the truth is that Satan.
Right.
Satan's going to try to tempt the Christian more than he is the non-Christian, because they don't have a relationship with God. So he knows where our weakness is.
Exactly.
And he's going to try to. That doesn't mean that we don't love Jesus. It doesn't mean, but again, we can't live there.
The thing about it is I love Jesus with all my heart. Do you?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to follow Jesus with all my heart. But here's the thing. I'm not the person that I want to be.
Exactly.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So when somebody says, you're a Christian, you shouldn't act like, you know what? Act like that. You're probably right. I shouldn't. I'm not the person that I want to be, but my goodness, I love Jesus for what he's done in my life and how much he's changed me. So we have Jesus and Peter. They're walking along. And in John 21 verses 21 and 2, Peter asked Jesus, what about him, Lord? He's pointing to John. Jesus replied, well, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? As for you, what's he say? Follow me. And do you think that a lot of times in our Christian life, we start comparing, you know, what about them, Lord? They're not going through anything bad. Why do they always have it so good? I mean, why am I going through this? And, you know, I could say, why am I going through this and Brandon's got it so good? You know, Brandon gets to go do this and Brandon gets to go there. Right. He's won the lottery. He's done, but I still suffer. And I love Jesus' reply.
I can't win the lottery if I don't play it.
What is that to you?
Right.
What is that to you?
Right.
It's about you following me. So keep your eyes on me.
Mm-hmm.
Does it matter if you go through 1,000 bad things over the next month and this person over here has everything good that they've ever wanted? As for you, what do you, you follow me.
Right.
Keep your eyes on me. And then John 21 verse 25, I love this. Jesus also did many other things. If they were all written down, I suppose the whole world could not contain the books that could be written.
That's awesome.
I can't even fathom that.
It's going to be one of those things, and I think you said this, but like when I get to heaven, like, okay, what are the other things? Like, what didn't make it?
Exactly. I mean, I think I said yesterday, I was like, you're going to find out what didn't make it. I'm like, well, I could have used that back in 1999. Like,
right?
Thank you. So, with God being with us, here's the responses that we can have. First, we have to believe in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's like the most important thing that we can do. John 20 verses 30 and 31. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book, but these were written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and believing that you might have life in his name. So there's three things in that verse. As yesterday, I was like, did you catch the three things? And I'm like, I hope you did, because they were underlined.
They
made it easy for
exactly.
you. But you have to realize that that's like the most important. Those are three things that are so important, because when we live in our culture today, because our culture is like, how many times have you heard people say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus.
Oh yeah.
But what does that mean?
Right.
Well, I mean, what does that actually mean?
So many things.
Yeah. I mean, cause like, correct me if I'm wrong, even the devil believes in Jesus.
James says even the demons believe and they shudder.
Yeah, so what's a big deal? Big hairy deal. But when John says you need to believe in Jesus, this is very intense. And he calls out, you know, three things that you need to do. You have to believe that he's the Messiah. You got to believe he's the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the boss of everything. And you have to believe that he gives you life. And those are three huge things.
Right.
And I think that, you know, I mean, would you admit this? You like to be in charge of your life?
Yes.
But we're really not. I mean, if we're following Christ, Jesus is in charge of our life. So the second thing is Jesus is the Son of God. And I think this is huge too. And, but I think we have to admit that, that Jesus is the Son of God. And I love this about John, because I think the thing about John, he says that when you've seen Jesus, you've seen God.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you ever want to know what God looks like, all you, and want to know what God is thinking, all you have to do is look at Jesus. And I think that gives good new meaning to Matthew 1:23, where it says, the virgin will conceive a child, she'll give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And so when you see Jesus, you literally see God. And I think we need to wipe away the misconception that God is this angry old man sitting in heaven. He's judgmental. He's bigoted. He's all these things.
Mm-hmm.
You need to wipe that away, because that's not the way that he is. Because if you read through the book of John, you're going to understand that, when you see Jesus,
yeah,
you see God. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you can't see God's love, through the person mm-hmm. of Jesus Christ. And
with that being said, you know, just understanding that, you know, the world has taken God's love to another different level, you know, with Jesus, and, you know, to the level of acceptance. And never in Jesus's ministry do you see accepting sin.
No.
But he's leading them in a way that is loving.
Right.
To repentance.
Exactly.
And to change.
Exactly.
And but that is, that's the character of God.
Mm-hmm.
God does love us, but God wants to lead us mm-hmm. to an area of repentance, to an area of change.
Exactly.
And I think that's so important to remember, because I think there is a separation in our minds sometimes where it's right. like, you know, Jesus was this, but God is, you know, you
exactly
sitting in a rocking chair up in heaven. Or whatever.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, look at them down there.
Exactly.
Get off my lawn.
Exactly. Like Clint Eastwood in right. Gran Torino. Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. So I think it comes down to surrender.
It does.
I think it comes down to me surrendering what I want to what God wants
mm-hmm.
and what God requires in my life.
Correct.
This is so tough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
because we like control. I do.
Yeah, you do.
I do. I like control.
We all do.
Yeah.
We all like it. So how do I ask the question? How do I surrender? And but number one, you have to live in the story of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I think it's hard to know somebody if you don't know who they are.
Right.
And you have to know who Jesus is. So, the thing about, I think I found out something, you know, 20 years ago, is we like hearing people talk about Jesus, and we love reading about what people think about Jesus. And I've had people read so many things about Jesus that other yep. people think, but they're not really reading the Bible.
Right.
And I think you have to read the Bible to find out who
correct.
Jesus is. So you
correct.
Have to read through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You got to read the story over and over again until you find out who Jesus actually is. Find out how Jesus thinks. Find out what he's thinking about things. Look at him. I mean, you're going to know him if you read about him. And I think that's so important.
Mm-hmm.
Number two is you have to know Jesus.
Yep.
And you have to live with him, but you have to know him too, meaning that you recognize him.
Right.
And I love the fact that,
go ahead. I was just gonna say, you mentioned it yesterday, the two that knew him the best, that loved him the most, were the first two to recognize him.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Like, John's like, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. And they went right with him. So.
No, and even to trust him, you even look back at, when Peter walked on water.
Exactly.
You know, they weren't sure that it was Jesus. It was, you know, windy and rainy, and he was out
exactly.
a distance. And Peter's like, you know, if it is you, I trust you. Tell me to come to you. And man, just again there, you know, and I think there's a, and I haven't really heard this talked about much at all, if any. I think there's a correlation there between Peter jumping out of the boat to walk on water that night that Jesus comes walking to them. And then this instance that you read where, you know, Jesus is preparing breakfast on the beach and Peter jumps out of the boat mm-hmm. to go to Jesus.
Right.
You know, and I think there's just that level of trust that
right.
Peter has in Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but yeah, you know, that's Peter and John. Were the first two to recognize
they
him.
They were, and they know him. And
yep.
we have to know Jesus. I mean, literally, how do you get to know Jesus? You have to get into the Word.
Right.
I mean, if you're not in the Word, I don't know what we're doing.
Right.
I have no idea.
Yeah, because then you can't do what James says, which we talk about all the time. Know the
Word. And do the
and
Word.
And do the Word.
And that's been like 3 summers ago.
Right?
That's crazy. Number three is we have to love Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's huge. Mm-hmm. And love is an action word, right? I mean, it's not like, oh, I just love you. I love you. Because Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And this is important because this was important for Peter.
Right.
Because like you said, Jesus already knows, but this is important for Peter. He's trying to drive this point home with Peter.
Right.
So, you know, you can believe in Jesus, but you have to love him too. Because I know people who believe that there was a Jesus, but they don't really love him.
Right.
So,
it's not like Jesus is like, you know, do you love me? Peter's like, yes. Okay. Then sit at my feet.
Exactly.
You know, do you love me? Yes. Okay. Well, then just read my word.
Yeah.
Do you, you know, it's like, it goes back to the, you know, Mary and Martha.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, what Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet and Martha was doing and doing.
Right.
And, you know, it's like,
right.
You can't necessarily have one without the other. You have to have that action as well.
Jesus gives him an action. You know, he's like, you know, feed my sheep, you know, take care of my people, do that. And then the last action he gives him is what? Follow me. And that's an action.
Yeah.
So either you're going to follow him or you're not. He does the same thing for you and I today. Follow me.
Yeah.
Does it mean following Jesus you're going to be perfect?
Right.
Not at all. So if you're going to love Jesus, then I believe your life is going to show it through action.
Right.
And I think real love is an action word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think, you know, kind of going back to what I was saying is there's a time for both. You have
to,
and we talked about it, you have to be in the Word. You have to be in the Word to know him.
Exactly.
You know, because, you know, Jesus was like, no, you know, Mary's doing what she needs to do. Right. She was sitting at his feet. In that moment, that's what she needed to do. But then it gets to the point of, okay, now follow me. Now feed my sheep. Now.
Exactly.
You know, and so you can't necessarily have one without the other.
Exactly. Mother Teresa, this is a good quote.
Very good.
She said, I see Jesus in every human being, and I say to myself, this is hungry Jesus, I must feed him. This is sick Jesus, this one has leprosy or gangrene. I must wash him and attend to him. I serve and sacrifice for Jesus because I love Jesus.
Mm.
She wasn't doing that because she was going to get all these accolades. I mean,
no.
She's not doing this because...
Well, she probably will in heaven.
Exactly. But she literally did it because she loves Jesus Christ. And I think when we do things, we have to do them because we love Jesus Christ with all of our hearts
and those, you know, the positions that she put herself in weren't comfortable, I'm sure, to be around those people.
No.
It was like, oh yeah, I love this. This is fun. It wasn't about fun or not fun. It was about her love for Jesus.
Exactly. Exactly. So that wrapped us up and we're on to the next thing.
On to run the race. Mm-hmm.
So, just want to let you guys know that again, we're starting Run the Race, this Sunday. So hope you come, bring your kids, get them over to the kids department. Also, His Hands Construction, you know about them. They're going to have a brief informative meeting following the second service this Sunday, April the 7th. If you'd like to hear more about the work that they're doing in Honduras, or you have questions, or by helping out, by praying, or financially, you can go to the fellowship hall at noon, and John Hughes will be talking to you directly. And then we have the New Path Pregnancy Resource Volunteer Training. That's going to be on April 8th and 9th from 8:30 to 4:30 p.m. And if you'd like more information or if you'd like to register, you can go to newpathprc.com. Sound good?
There you go.
You know it's coming up next Tuesday night, don't you?
Night of prayer.
Exactly. 6 p.m. April 9th. So I hope you guys show up for that. And then 2 weeks from yesterday, April 14th, we have pizza with the staff
at noon.
So if you all haven't signed up, you've been new to RCC and like to spend some time with us, just a few minutes, we'll feed you and talk with you, answer some questions. You can sign up at richwood.church/sign-up. And then 2 weeks from yesterday, April 14th, starting the crazy cycle.
Going off the rails of the crazy train.
There you go. Crazy Cycle. Marriage series is coming up. So if you're married, you'd like to join the class for 4 weeks, just let us know. You can sign up at richwood.church/sign-up. So Walk for Life is coming May 4th, 9:30 to 12. Did you know about that?
I did know about that.
Just checking.
I've heard about that.
Yep. You can register by April 10th. That's coming up this week. You can get a free t-shirt if you do that. So you can sign up at newpathprc.com.
There you go.
And then there you go. So you know you have anything else or? Guess not.
I don't think so.
Perfect.
I think you covered it all.
I don't know how much I covered, but I just read it from a list, so.
Well.
I didn't have that all memorized.
At least you can read.
Barely.
Barely.
I can barely see sometimes. My need stronger glasses or something.
It's part of getting old.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yep. Thank you so much.
Well, I hope you have a good week. I hope that the weather people got it wrong and it's going to be way warmer and we don't see the snow. Did you see my Snapchat on Saturday
Maybe.
Of the hail that we got?
I did.
That
we
was
didn't
crazy.
Get that.
I know. Well, and people north of us were like, because I'd sent it to a few people and they were like, where is that? I'm like, my house. They're like, really? We got nothing here.
They were, was about dime size?
About dime size, yeah. They were
if it'd be bigger than that, it could do some damage to your car.
Well, as hard as it was coming down, I'm surprised it didn't.
That is a crazy weather right there. Mm-hmm. When hail comes down like that,
when they say
that is absolutely nuts.
They say that we're potentially getting more the next day or two.
We are in the last days, aren't we?
I think so.
Definitely.
Lord Jesus, please come.
Quickly. So, I had something to say, but I totally slipped my mind, so I'll have to think of it. I'll bring it up later.
April Fool's.
Yeah, right.
Tricks on you.
Exactly. Oh my goodness.
Yep. All right. Well, nothing else?
I'm good.
Sure. Baseball season started back.
It has.
Yeah.
But I mean, what's your team up? 2-1 or something?
2-1. Yeah. We play the White Sox today, I think.
And that, big stick Adam Duvall, man. He's, four at bats in and, he's got a hit or two. So
he's doing well.
Awesome. So
he's got more than
in
like
October.
He's batting over .500 right now, I think.
You see, Jock Peterson's hitting 1,000 this year.
Jock is the man. Has he even played? Is he hurt?
I think he's had like 2 at bats. He's 2 for 2 or something.
Good for Jock. Maybe we'll get him back like trade deadline or something.
Maybe they'll trade Jock Peterson for Adam Duvall. That would be awesome.
I'd be fine for that.
You know, he kind of seems wasted with the Arizona Diamondbacks, to be honest with you.
Agreed.
I think he needs to be somewhere else, like the Dodgers or the Yankees or the Braves. Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
So last time we won a World Series, we had Adam Duvall and Jock Peterson. We're just one trade away.
You're one trade away
from the World Series again.
Yeah. So what do you think they're going to do? You think they're going to do well?
Braves?
Yeah.
They got the team to do it. They got the pitching to do it as long as people stay healthy. Already down. We have 2 main catchers. So, Travis d'Arnaud and Sean Murphy.
Vic Carell?
No, not at all. Pete Rose.
You don't have no idea who Vic Carell is, do you?
No.
Dude, he caught with him in the '70s.
Okay. I wasn't alive.
Okay, go for it.
But anyways, Sean Murphy did have like an oblique injury, so he's on the injured list now.
Awesome. Well,
thankfully we have 2 good catchers.
Yeah, they seem to do pretty well.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I think they'll, who's their competition in that division? It's the Mets,
Phillies.
Yeah.
And we just went 2-1 on the Phillies in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
For the opening series.
Phillies are kind of an enigma because they're kind of a hot and cold team.
Hot and cold.
Yeah. And even though they went far last year, am I right? They didn't have 90 wins, right? It was like 89.
Correct. Yeah. And so, we had the best record in baseball.
Yeah.
And lost out to them the first round.
So they're hot and cold. I mean, they're like,
they get hot when they need to.
Exactly.
And
the Phillies can drop
me.
4 in a row, but they can also riddle off 9 in a row
exactly.
Where they win. So, they're one of those teams where it's like, I don't know what team's showing up. They're
exactly.
Like the Kentucky Wildcats. What team is showing up here?
None right now.
None. Exactly. None.
Same as my Tar Heels.
You guys went down.
We went down. But guess what?
So did Duke.
NC State all the way. Number 11 seed
into
the Final Four.
I think that Purdue is going to win.
I'm pulling for NC State.
I think Purdue is going to do it.
You might be right, but. I'm pulling.
They're tougher than what I thought they were.
I am pulling for the lone ACC team.
Go for it. You might be right.
You never, number 11 seed. Like they were not even going to make the tournament.
It's March Madness. Anything
until
can
they
happen.
Ran the tournament through the ACC tournament.
There you go.
And that put them in.
So for those of you who love the baseball, basketball, that's it for you guys.
There you
right
go.
There. We got you guys set and ready to roll.
Ready
so,
for another week until next week. So
until next week.
Next week, eclipse. So
total eclipse of Union
the sky,
County.
Yeah. Exactly. So we hope you have a great week. Thanks for listening. Enjoy. Stay safe. Bye. We'll be right back.